Well, thanks for listening to the Coaster Gallery podcast. It's the 1st of February 2013, and unfortunately, this is the first podcast I've recorded this year, so we're going to call this episode 1301. We're going to talk about looping coasters, more specifically looping wooden coasters today with my brother Jeff, and I'm also going to give you a little bit of preview about the photography discussion we're going to have in the next couple weeks. So let's go right now to my interview with my brother Jeff. Well, let's talk a little bit about looping wooden coasters. As usual, I've got my roller coaster expert, Jeff, on board. Say hello, Jeff.
Hello.
And hopefully his audio sounds a little bit better than previous podcasts. We are separated by a few thousand miles, but thanks to the miracle of the internet, we can have a little debate about wooden roller coaster loops. So, Jeff, if you could set me up with the history. What's this monstrosity that happened in Kings Island in Ohio?
Okay, I'll try to keep it brief. If I remember, I mean, it's hard to remember because it's been a long time now, but the whole 1999-2000 was a pretty insane time for building roller coasters. I mean, that whole about five-year period was kind of the second coaster wars, and you had these parks really at an arms race, and even had some parks, like a Six Flags park, would add like three roller coasters in 1 year. It was insane. And everyone knew Cedar Point was going to do something huge. And probably most people could have guessed that Cedar Point was going to build some sort of 300-foot coaster. And Kings Island, and pretty rightly so in my opinion, decided to launch their counterattack. And they didn't try to out Cedar Point. They tried to, you know, do what they do have done well as a big rockin' wooden coaster. And so they announced Son of Beast, and I seem to recall immediately everyone was concerned because it was built by the Roller Coaster Corporation of America.
Exactly.
A company that had built like one roller coaster somewhere in South America that no one's ever ridden, and that was pretty much all they had done.
Well, I'll list the ones that they did. They did one at Movie Park Germany, which I'd never heard of. They did Magnus Colossus at Terra Mítica in Spain. And then Montezuma something at Hopi Hari in Brazil, and that's it. Now
there
they're out
go.
Of business. And then since then, they're out of business. Mm-hmm. So yeah, little to no experience there. So anyway,
and
so Roller Coaster Corporation of America.
Yeah, and at first the rumors were that Cedar Point had approached the builders. At the time, it would have been Custom Coasters International and Great Coasters International, and everyone was just like, "Nope, not interested." I think Intamin was building Woody's too. So they kind of went with their only option was the rumor. And even during construction, I remember like a big part of it blew over in a wind one day and a big chunk of the lift hill was destroyed. There was all kinds of weird mojo going on when it was being built.
Well, and just to put it in context, the thing is 218 feet tall. It was the tallest in the world, the largest drop in the world. And then the big news was that it had a vertical loop about halfway through the course.
And I know that's what you want to talk about today, but let me just up Son of Beast.
Oh, yeah. I've got some opinions, believe me.
It was a massive gamble. It was, in some sense, a brilliant gamble. It just failed horribly. And the one and only possible redeeming quality of that ride was the loop. And it's worth noting that the loop was a fully steel structure that had wooden track on it.
Correct.
So, you know, I hate to see coasters go, but I really didn't hate to see that one go. I rode it twice. One was almost tolerable, and the other one was sheer misery. And I've heard that most of them were sheer misery.
Well, and it had a history even after it opened. It ran from 2000 through 2006.
Inflicting a lot of injuries.
Yeah, and it was not a quality ride. And I did ride it once then with the loop and hated it. Swore I'd never do it again. It shut down and it stood in 2006, 2007, and then it reopened with new trains from Gerstlauer. I think the original ones might have been PTC. I'm not 100% sure.
And they stole them from another roller coaster, maybe from Six Flags Geauga Lake or something
like
that.
I think so. It might have been from Villain or something. But they got these new trains, and then they renovated the ride. And most dramatically, they took out the big gag. They removed the vertical loop.
The only good part.
And I rode it once without the loop and still hated it. There were just no redeeming qualities. It looked beautiful. It was a pretty ride, but it was just a lousy ride. It was rough. It was not fun. It didn't have any of the elements from The Beast, just, you know, across the park that they tried to copy. None of those really worked. So I was not sad to see it go. What happened? It had a fairly big accident in 2009. It sat there until the end of 2012, and just a couple months ago, they turned it into toothpicks. So the first modern looping wooden coaster was, you know, by pretty much all measures, a flop. Don't know a lot of big fans about it. I know that there were lawsuits. They sued RCCA. They sued the wood people. I mean, it was just, and who knows how it was ever settled, but
everything that could have gone wrong went wrong with that ride, basically.
Pretty much, including the sad thing was people getting banged up and injured during normal operation, and then during the ride when I think something delaminated. So there was, you know, most coaster accidents are riders' faults that, you know, somebody stood up or got out of their harness. This was actually a mechanical breakdown. So one of the few times that people were hurt because of, you know, a failure in the coaster itself. So anyway, so that thing has been standing since middle of 2009, and then 3 years later, they trash it. Fast forward now to here we are in 1st of February 2013. What's going on with wooden coasters with loops these days?
Well, it would seem a lot, and suddenly. You know, it had been rumored for a long time that who are the guys? The Gravity Group had basically said, hey, you know, we could build a roller coaster with some sort of corkscrew or something. We just need someone to order one, basically. And I remember even hearing that that idea was even tossed around a little bit when they were building the Voyage. I don't know whether that's just rumor or not, but the rumor was they kind of discussed it a little bit, but just ended up not doing it. Maybe because Haiti or whatever that the Voyage has a lot going on. It's a large
ride. Yeah, and it just goes on forever. I know the first time I rode it, I got to about the halfway point there and said, "My God, this thing just never quits." To put the Gravity Group in perspective, they are leftovers from, is it GCI or CCI?
CCI.
CCI, Custom Coasters, went under, and then, or sold out, depending on who you believe. And then these guys formed their own company in Ohio, and they've got some classics. They have Hades in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Ravine Flyer 2 at Waldemere in Erie, Pennsylvania is a fun ride. I got to ride Twister in Grönlund in Sweden last summer, a year and a half ago. Insane little coaster. The engineering of it is just amazing because it literally is intertwined, I think is the right term, with like two or three other rides in this teeny little area, and it goes above and below and in between other rides, and it's a trip. And then Wooden Warrior I rode last summer in Quasi, which is in Connecticut, I believe, and it's like 40 feet tall. It's a teeny little coaster. That's almost a top 10 ride. I dug it. And then they also helped reassemble Zippin' Pippin, which they moved. It's Elvis's favorite coaster. They moved from Memphis up to Green Bay, Wisconsin. And that coaster rocked. So, you know, here they don't have a ton of experience. Or I shouldn't say that. They only have a limit. You know, they've done about 10 coasters in the last 5 or 6 years. But every one that I've been on, I love. So anyway, they built Hades back in 2005. Used to be Big Chief's Carts and Coasters. Now it's Mount Olympus Water and Theme Park in the Wisconsin Dells. So anyway, back to your discussion that I've derailed you about the modern version.
Well, anyway, long story short, this year, 2013, there will be 3 wooden roller coasters opening with some sort of inversion. However, there needs to be a big, giant asterisk next to that.
Yeah.
Because not one of the 3 is a straight-up traditional wooden coaster. So let's start with Hades, which is arguably the one you could say is a traditional wooden roller coaster.
Okay, Hades, which is, it has a steel structure, but still wood track.
It is a steel structure, but it has a wooden track. So, you know, technically I think that would make it a wooden coaster. That's the kind of the standard definition.
Sure.
They are taking an existing roller coaster, and I think they're kind of lopping off the top of one of the hills and turning it into a barrel roll. I honestly haven't paid attention to where they are doing it.
Well, I've got my cheat sheet here. It says the island of track in the parking lot was rebuilt to include a corkscrew inversion and a 130-degree overbank turn. Now, this thing started with a couple 90-degree turns, most of which were underground, I believe, so you really didn't see it. So I rode this. It's been 7 years, I think, since I've ridden it, so my details are a little foggy. But first hill goes into a tunnel, and then it dives under the parking lot, and then it kind of pops out in the middle of the parking lot and does a little turnaround, and then goes back underground. And then when it reemerges, it's kind of back in the woods. So it's an interesting setup. I really like the ride. So somewhere, I think when it pops out of the parking lot and goes back above ground, they're ripping that out and putting in this corkscrew roll.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like a corkscrew. I would describe the way it looked like. It's not an Intamin Heartline roll where you're traveling in a straight forward path with no change of elevation.
Okay.
It's kind of like, I think it's kind of like the B&M Heartline rolls, where it's like a giant camelback hill almost with a, while you are executing a Heartline roll. So they're making some substantial modifications to this.
Yes.
And in order to pull this off, they're replacing the trains with their own, I think they're called like Timberliners or something like that.
No, my only experience with the Timberliner train was at Gwazi, a Wooden Warrior, and I dug it. Kind of an interesting restraint system, but if you go to CoasterGallery.com and go to the Gwazi section, check out these funky little blue trains.
I think what makes them special is not just that they're, you know, their own personal trains, or that even that they're just single bench trains, but I believe that each individual car has a built-in steering mechanism, so the thing can steer where your traditional PTC trains don't.
Oh, I take it back. I think the one in Grönland had them also, because the coaster was jammed in this little teeny area amongst the other rides, and the radius on these turns, both, you know, laterally and vertically, is so tight that they needed this train that could, you know, make these teeny little turns. And both the ones that I've been on, they're not fast rides, but they're so intense because you're turning on a dime, and this little train can just fold in on itself. Sadly, as I record this, I have yet to post my Twister pictures from Grönland. I hope to get around to it. I'm just a little backlogged and still catching up. But obviously, this thing is very articulated and steers differently from a conventional wooden coaster, so it could do these maneuvers and go through these tight turns and hopefully this loop. So, anything else you want to say about that one, or do you want to go to the ones that
are
a little more?
No, it looks wonderful. I'd love to ride it. Honestly, I don't think I've ridden the original Hades, so
yeah,
I would love to ride that. And I think you can argue this thing is a wooden roller coaster. Now, it has a steel support structure. But in a sense, it's more wood than the other ones. So,
well, and again, it goes to the track. You could look at the 82-year-old Coney Island Cyclone. It too has a lot of steel supports, but it's still a wooden coaster because the track itself, what you're riding on, is, you know, 7, 8, 9 different layers of wood piled together. The other two are a little bit not as clear. So, for example, talk to me about the Outlaw Run at Silver Dollar City.
I remember a couple months ago, someone put on Facebook or somewhere on the internet a construction photo that was going of what was going on, because the ride was unannounced, and it was the most wild looking photo. Everyone couldn't decide: is that some sort of weird, crazy Heartline roll?
Yeah, or is it photoshopped? Is it photoshopped or what? I mean, it just didn't look real. Okay, so anyway, the photos came out from Branson, Missouri. Silver Dollar City is building this coaster, Outlaw Run. And I need to back up a little bit and say that, and I got to get the right page here to make sure I get my facts right. Rocky Mountain Construction is building this one.
Yes.
Rocky Mountain, I've had a couple experiences with Rocky Mountain Construction. They started with what they call topper track, and it was a way to refresh or renovate existing wooden rides, and there are six or seven that they've done so far. The last one I rode was in Silverwood last fall. And was it Tremors or Timber Terror? Tremors. And they replaced like 800-900 feet of track with this topper track. And what they do, their track I think was a 9-layer track. They take off the top two, put on this metal structure. They actually fill it with, I think, like grout or concrete to kind of stiffen it. And makes a huge improvement in the smoothness and the quality of the ride. And also, I talked to one of the mechanics there. Spent most of the time talking about their Giant and Vertigo. But he told me about how it does make the life easier for them. That the daily maintenance of all the wooden track is lessened there. So this is getting into that gray area that, well, the track is mostly wood, but now you got a little more metal to it. So
I think Devil's Advocate would say that every wooden roller coaster ever has had that, like, seven layers of wood or whatever, and then a strip of metal on top. And the wheels always only contact metal.
No, I'm going to.
So this is basically just a thicker metal.
I'm going to be the troublemaker and say, World's Oldest Coaster, you and I rode together, Leap the Dips in Altoona, Pennsylvania, is about the only exception to the rule. That thing's 100-some-odd years old, too. So basically, for the last 80 years, they're putting on the wood, but there's still a metal strip at the top and sometimes to the side for the side wheels and sometimes even underneath for the upstop wheels.
No, I think always. I mean, I don't think any of them actually have any modern coaster would have
wood to wood
metal wheels rubbing against raw wood. I don't think it's done.
And if you ask me, I think that's the problem with the flying turns that have been under construction for the last 5 or 6 years in Pennsylvania. They just can't figure out a way for the thing to not tear up the wood. So now we've gone from the little strip of metal to a larger strip of metal, but still a lot of wood. So, kind of gray area.
Still think it's probably a wooden coaster. Who cares? I don't.
Well, and that's the other thing. I'm going to ride it. I'm going to it looks great, and I was impressed with Rocky Mountain construction so far. I think Silver Dollar City does some quality things, so it has the potential. I've seen pictures, I've seen video, computer creation of it, because it's not running yet, but I'm dying to go down there. It looks fun. Well,
here's the thing, is that the deal with this coaster that I think it's so exciting is not the fact that this is a coaster that includes a wooden coaster that includes an inversion, or even more, a wooden coaster that includes multiple versions. This thing is just a crazy, crazy coaster.
Oh, and yes.
I think it has some sort of reverse banked turn. So you're like banked outwards, so the turn is all like negative G's or something. It's ridiculous.
And the pilot in me goes, "Oh, you can't bank one way and go the other way. That just doesn't work."
And this thing is either going to be one of the greatest things ever, or it's going to be one of the worst things ever. And my money's on it's going to be awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's not a flop. That's the threat, that one of these rides may become the modern Son of Beast, that it just doesn't work. But it's got an 81-degree drop. It's got three inversions. I mean, the stats on this thing sound just incredible. And like I said, the pictures that have been coming out, man, I'm dying to get down there. I got to find a way to sneak down to Branson next year once it opens. I wish them the best of luck. Silver Dollar City is such
I think
a cool
this may be that one in particular, more so than the other two, might be the start of almost a new breed of coaster, kind of the wild and crazy kind of 21st century wooden coaster, and not in a traditional way, which, there are certainly as a market for those, they're still building those traditional wooden coasters, and they're pretty much the best coasters being built, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be the first, that one in particular is going to be the first of many.
Well, and let's go to the third variation on the theme, Iron Rattler at Six Flags Fiesta Texas, which was built in 1992, ran for two decades as Rattler, and then they did what?
Well, here's the thing. You need to talk about this first, because you need to go back to the Texas Giant.
Let's go back.
I wrote all the other, what is it, Summers and Den Woodies, except for that one. Wrote it, and then you wrote it after its renovation. So
I will admit, this was 12 years ago, 11 years ago, I rode the original Texas Giant.
Yeah, but
Giants.
It was pretty crappy even then.
It's very much like Mean Streak. It looks neat, and it's a neat design, but you're just braced for, the whole
ride, and you know, I get off and my head hurts and my neck hurts, and it's just not a good quality ride.
And that was after it was braked and reprofiled and lift lowered and like all the others.
And trim brakes and everything. And it did not age well. Now, I know that Cedar Points has spent a lot of money trying to retrack and renew Mean Streak, and it's helped some, but still,
it's made it more tolerable, rough. But it has not made it the great ride it was for 2 years.
So then, fast forward to 2010, they shut the whole thing down for an entire year. They said, you know, it's not even going to run this year. We're refreshing it for the 40th or the 50th anniversary of Six Flags?
Something like that.
70, 80, 90, I think the 50th anniversary, whatever it was. They sunk $10 million into redoing this. Back to Rocky Mountain Construction, they said, we're going to tear off all the track. We'll leave the same supports, although they're going to tweak the last few feet of it. And then they put in these I-beams, metal I-beams. They call it the Iron Horse treatment. And to me, this is a steel coaster. I mean, it's just one big giant chunk of specifically manufactured metal for that curve. They know exactly what, you know, bank and twists and turns it needs. And they mill this thing and form it in the factory. And I rode it last summer. I loved it. This is another one that, you know, maybe not top one or two, but it's there. You know, after you're on 600 coasters, it's hard for me to say, oh, it's top 10 or top 20, but it's right up close. I mean, it was a great ride. It was powerful. It was fast. It was smooth. I rode it like 4 times in a row that night. And I could have spent all day on it. It was good. There's good airtime. There's great speed. There's tunnels. I mean, I really enjoyed this ride. And I said to you at the time, if I was Cedar Point, I would do this to Mean Streak in a heartbeat. And I said, if I was Six Flags Fiesta Texas, I would do this to Rattler in a heartbeat. And, you know, there are a lot of coasters that I said I would do this, you know, without question, because it just made a ride that I rode once and said never again to one that I didn't want to get off. I just loved it.
I think that Six Flags and Six Flags Fiesta Texas deserves a lot of respect and appreciation for taking that gamble where they shut down a big ride for a year.
Literally a year.
They spent enough money where they could have bought them some sort of new roller coaster. I mean, just to refresh, I think it was, well, we got to tear it down or we got to fix it, you know, do something radical. And they took the bold step, and I think it paid off wonderfully. I think that thing is now their headline attraction again, like it was 21 years ago or whatever.
Sure. Now, the second time they're going to do this treatment to a wooden coaster, they're going to do it in the off season. So I hope that it's a learning curve, that the first time they said, why rush it? Why do it in the winter? Let's take an entire year to figure it out. Now they're getting better at it. So the Rattler opened up, and this was who built Rattler?
The same as Summers and Den, I think. Yeah, they built all those big ones back then.
So in 1992, it opened up, and from day one, they had problems. It had 170-some foot. Let's see. I got to read my notes here. 179-foot drop. Well, they changed that, and then they shortened it. And then the drop was, now it's 124 feet. I mean, you can look and see the new track that they built, and it's reprofiled. And it's the same thing that I rode it once and went, I just don't like it. I just, whatever. It looks cool. It's on this cliff. It's on the quarry walls. It goes through the limestone tunnel. I mean, it's a great thing. But honestly, I was there 2 or 3 years ago. I didn't even bother to ride it. I just, my head was hurting enough as it was from some of the other things.
Well, so, and the thing that if someone's not familiar with what they're doing with these things, is it's not like they're just taking off the track replacing it with a steel track. They are making massive and radical modifications to the existing structure and layout and changing it to a way more awesome ride.
If you looked down on Texas Giant, it's still the same layout. It still goes here, and then it goes a big left, and it goes this way and does another turn. But the peaks and valleys of the hills are changed, and most importantly, the bank. Whereas this thing was barely, you know, creeping around the corners on a flat turn, now they've lowered some of the hills to keep the speed up, and you're doing a, you know, 60, 70, 80 degree bank. The first hill, which was 60 some degrees, it's now a 70 degree drop. The Iron Rattler, it's going to have an 81-degree drop. And I just saw a picture of it, and it looks pretty much vertical. I mean, unless you're looking at it right from the side, it looks darn near straight down. So, you know, it's still roughly the same layout, but it's really a different ride, and, you know, it's a different beast. And so the one at Fiesta Texas in San Antonio, they're going to add an inversion. So I think it's kind of that mid-course. It used to go up and do two or three 360s at the top of the cliff wall. I think in there it's going to do the loop somewhere and then drop back down, but I'm not sure. I haven't seen a lot of pictures, and I haven't been to the park in two or three years. So we'll see what happens. This one, I'm going to use my cheat sheet again. So the Iron Rattler has the 171-foot drop, 81 degrees, 110-degree bank turn, a 95-degree bank turn, a 0G roll, a 98-degree turn, and a 93-degree bank turn. So really, you've got four times you're going more than 90 degrees to your side. You're doing this over bank turn. So, yeah, they never did anything like that before. So that one...
Yeah, and I'm going to interrupt you a little bit, just something popped in my head. I really think, you know, I'd go on record saying that this new breed of wooden roller coaster, all three of these, are one of the best things to happen, even though these aren't even open yet. So one of the best things to happen to roller coasters in a long time, because all we've had for a while is gimmicks and variations. I mean, B&M, love them to death, but all they're doing is they're slightly altering your seating position.
That's right.
Or the seating position in relation to the track. Fundamentally, there's no difference
between
Kumba, which was like their first one that sit down, or any of these gatekeepers. You're just wing riders. You're just kind of off to the side a little bit. You know, and so it's been a while since there's been anything to really kind of give a different ride. And not just maybe a different visual look to the way you're riding. So I think it's really cool.
And I don't care if people argue if it's steel or if it's wood or whatever.
Who cares?
You know, whatever. And I struggle when I sit down at my website and go, ooh, do I call it wood or do I call it steel? But honestly, I don't care. I go on it. I enjoy it. I have fun. End of discussion.
Yeah, and they all three look really fun. And fun in different ways. I think it's going to be interesting over the next 5 years. Where is this going to go?
Well, I don't know if I'll be doing a podcast in 5 years, but in 5 or 6 months, I'll hopefully still be here and kicking up podcasts, and we'll come back. And I don't know how many of these you and I will get to ride, but at least we'll have some reports from other people. So that's maybe that's a good plug. At this point, send me an email or a Facebook message or a tweet. Let me know which one you're looking forward to, and more importantly, when you get to one of these and ride it, let me know how it is. We'll do a little trip report. I know every other podcast does the same thing, so it's kind of a ripoff, but send me a little audio file, and I'll talk to you later about how to do it, but I would love to hear that firsthand experience, and probably what we'll do, no offense, Jeff, I'll try and interview somebody else that gets on it.
Hey, I haven't ridden a new coaster in 5 years since I had a family, so you need to talk to people that have actually ridden stuff lately.
Yeah, I mean, you've been on, now, I will say, you've been on, what, 300 plus?
Mm-hmm, about 400, I think.
400, I mean, you know your things. Now, you're kind of in a lull a little bit. My lull was about 10 years ago after 9/11 when I was furloughed. So one of the things, and I hate to badmouth other people, but one of the things that bug me about some of these podcasts I've listened to recently are the people talking about, oh, you know, this roller coaster, and the one specifically I was listening to, the guy says, well, I still haven't been on the Beast yet. And I'm thinking, you know, if you live on the East Coast, it's what, a day and a half drive. And
yeah, it's
been there since, what, 1970 something?
Yeah. If you live within a day's drive and you don't have kids, go ride it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would like to think that we've got a little authority, even though these are new rides. But I'm always looking for help. So hopefully you or I or some of the listeners will have a firsthand report. I'll give you my firsthand report on the Texas Giants. If you go to CoasterGallery.com, there's a little video, there's a lot of pictures, and dude, I dug it. I loved the ride, and I got about 6 laps on it, and loved every minute of it. So looking forward to more. Anything else you want to wrap up with?
Nah, that's good.
All right, well, that's all for this interview. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Well, when Jeff and I were talking, I mentioned having some input from some other people, and I went to the CoasterGallery.com Facebook page and asked this afternoon for people to complete the following sentence in 1 to 3 words. Son of Beast was blank. And I got a couple people that responded, and I'd like to share their responses. I'd like to share their names. However, I'm going to butcher their last names, I'm sure. So in advance, I apologize about getting your names wrong. But here goes. So from Josh Rice, he said, Son of Beast was the best. James Simmons says, Son of Beast was a wasted opportunity. I like that one. That's an interesting thought. Zach Clark wrote that he never rode Son of Beast, but from what he heard, it was pretty craptastic. Nice term. Will Barraza, I'm sorry, I probably screwed up Will's name, but he said Son of Beast was poorly built. You know what? Can't argue with that. Charles Mann simply said DOA. I assume that means dead on arrival. Michael Schmidt said Son of Beast was an unfun ride. I'm sorry, Dr. Michael Schmidt. Nicole Murray said, an interesting idea. Yeah, I can't argue with that. It was an interesting idea. I think the execution was a little bit shaky. Nikki, I'm going to try your name, but I'm sure I'm going to mess it up. DeGriolomo? Nikki said, Son of Beast was horrible. Too rough. Freddie Purdy, on the other hand, said it was rough and awesome. So, interesting little debate there. Matt Rizzico? That's another name I've probably screwed up. Just said it was a wooden coaster. Can't argue with that one. Ron Milner said he nearly blacked out on the Son of Beast. Joseph Pinsky probably summed it up best and said, Son of Beast, sadly, not Beast. Well, that kind of sums it up. You know, Beast is a fun ride. Son of Beast, in my opinion, not so much. All right, time for another famous plug. Facebook.com/CoasterGallery. You too can participate in our discussions. As always, I'm thankful for my brother Jeff's knowledge and expertise about roller coasters, and it's an interesting topic point. I mentioned your chance to give some feedback. What do you think about these rides, and when you get a chance to ride them, that's what I really want to hear. What do you think about the experience? There are lots of ways you can get hold of me. You can email joel@coastergallery.com. You could go to facebook.com/coastergallery. You can look up CoasterGallery.com on G+. You can hit me at Twitter, @CoasterGallery. Lots of different ways. Let me know what you think about this. Well, before we go to our photography preview, what's new on Coaster Gallery the last month? There are some pictures and video of Six Flags Over Texas I mentioned. There's also Farup Summerland, which is a neat little park in Denmark. The updates are kind of slow. I've been working on some other projects. But cruise around, I've been adding things just kind of here and there. Little updates as rides change names, paint schemes, new rides are being introduced. So I hope you get the time to cruise around and enjoy some photography and a couple of the new videos and try and keep up to date as more and more things are coming and going in the coaster world. So speaking of photography, one of the things that a lot of people got for Christmas are these nice new cameras. And I'm going to give a little hint that's going to help you on any camera that you have. Next week, or whenever we record, Jeff and I are going to talk about the difference between prime lenses and zoom lenses. And then if you have a zoom, which is the better way to use it? Do you want to zoom all the way in or zoom all the way out? So here's a little assignment for you, and it'll be a nice way to get a preview of what we're going to talk about. Find a camera with a zoom lens, DSLR, point and shoot, whatever, if there's some kind of optical zoom, not a digital zoom, but the optical ones where the lens actually physically changes. Take somebody's picture, or if you don't have a willing volunteer, take an object. Try and fill the frame with it, so make that person or object obviously the subject in the frame. So zoom all the way out, step close, take a picture. Then zoom in a little bit, but then zoom out with your feet. So to keep the subject or the person the same relative size, you're going to have to move in the opposite direction with your feet. So zoom in a little bit, take a step back so they look like about the same size in the picture of their face or their head or whatever you're using. Take another picture. Do it again. Zoom in. Obviously, they look bigger, so you got to move further back. So the best place to do this is probably going to be outdoors. I know it's a little challenging with the weather, but find a nice warm day or a big open space indoors. And if you have a zoom lens, a lot of these kits come with like an 18 to 55 millimeter zoom, and then usually like a 50 to 200 or 50 to 250. You may be able to zoom from 18 millimeters all the way up to 250 millimeters. It's a huge difference. So zoom in as much as you can, even if it means putting on another lens. Do it again. Zoom in, walk back, take a picture. Zoom in, walk back, and then look at the pictures and see which one you prefer. Jeff and I are going to talk about what this does, how it's going to affect your photography. We'll talk about depth of field, bokeh, some really neat things that are going to work on any camera you have. So I hope you tune in to episode 1302 when we kind of leave the coasters behind and talk about photography. As always, thanks for listening. Keep in touch. Stay tuned for a little photography talk next time. And go try and take some pictures this week. But whatever you do, go out and have some fun. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Girolamo. All right, next time I do this, I'm only reading comments if their name is Smith or Jones. I'm sorry, Nikki.